The man who sends the investor class diving for their tax shelters. Vic Smith.
So tonight's big vote. Again, we're going to kick, 24 million people off the rolls of the insured. We're going to toss about, 1.8 million people out of work. Yeah, that's good, sound economic policy from the guy who knows business, does the deal. Wow. It's one of those moments where you go, what exactly is this replace going to do to help us move forward in the country? And I asked the people who voted for Trump, is this what you voted for? Was this the replacement that you wanted? I look at the stories coming out of Appalachia, and evidently not so much. People not thrilled. So it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight with the big vote. But here to talk about what's going to happen if the AHCA, putting horrible in the ACA, what it's going to do. I've asked Thomas Hulsketter to come talk with us. He's a policy analyst with the health policy team there at the Center for American Progress. Thomas, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me on the show.
So I'm looking at this, and I guess it's not done yet. They're still twisting arms and horse trading and all of that. But I'm looking at the number of people the CBO says, 24 million uninsured. You've got something out saying it's going to cost us somewhere around 1.8 million jobs. Is that right?
Yeah, so our economics team took a look at that, and they estimate that, if you go forward a few years into 2022, there's going to be 1.8 fewer jobs as all that, money is pulled out of the healthcare sector and fewer people are insured. It has a big impact on the economy and on job growth.
But, I have friends who say, but Thomas, those are just government jobs because the government's taking over healthcare.
Yeah, it's mostly private sector jobs. Healthcare is 1/6 of the country's economy. And so, they're pushing through this bill so quickly and it's, reshaping the entire economy in addition to just impacting people's health.
Now, isn't it strange how quickly they're going through this when, for 6 years I could hear nothing but Obama rammed it down our throats?
Yeah, and that was never an... That was never really the truth of what happened. The ACA was debated for more than a year before it was passed. And they introduced this about 2 weeks ago in the House, and they're already ramming it through, and they're changing it last night and today. They're still rewriting the bill, even though they're going to vote on it tonight.
Yeah,
and so, yeah, it's just a crazy process.
It's crazy because, look, you had 6 years. I mean, it was like their grand fetish. If they could just repeal the Affordable Care Act and then they could replace it with their belief system, you would think that they were ready to go, that they would, the second they had a chance, they'd be chomping at the bit to go, see what we did. We did our work. We did our work. Evidently not so much.
Yeah, they had. They knew they didn't like Obamacare, but they'd never really developed a consensus on what they were for, and we're seeing that play out now, and it's just chaos.
Just absolutely crazy. So what are we thinking that's going to happen tonight? I mean, I saw a report that on Monday there were 17 Republican holdouts. Trump went to Capitol Hill, gave his little spiel, Mr. Art of the Deal, made his offer. And by the end of that, 27 people were against it. Mr. Art of the Deal. What are we seeing coming out now? What are we hearing? Or are we hearing anything?
So everything's still very much in flux. The latest, they're possibly rewriting parts of the bill today. There are negotiations with the Extreme Conservative Freedom Caucus and the White House where they're talking about, in addition to everything that's already in the bill, also repealing the ACA's essential health benefits, which guarantee that insurance plans have to cover important services like hospitalization, prescription drugs, maternity coverage, and mental health coverage, substance abuse coverage, which is really big in helping address the opioid epidemic. And so there's still really big, important parts of the ACA that might be they might add repeals of those elements onto this bill, even though we're apparently voting on it in a few hours. So, and in response to that, we've seen several moderate Republicans flip votes and say they're no longer going to be able to vote for it with these new changes. And
so yeah,
everything's still very much
in
flux.
Yeah, I know in our area, Charlie Dent, a congressman, from his district goes from just a little bit east of Harrisburg all the way out to Allentown and up. He has come out, you know, one of the few moderate Republicans. He's come out and said he's absolutely voting against it. So you lost him. So it'll be interesting to see where this plays out. But here's the thing. There are a lot of Republicans, Thomas, that are not voting for it because it's not bad enough, in my view. It doesn't kick enough people off the rolls of the insured, and it doesn't harm enough people.
Yeah, well, and that's what the Freedom Caucus has been pushing for. You know, their big thing they're trying to negotiate with the White House now is to make it so your insurance plan doesn't have to cover prescription drugs, doesn't have to cover mental health care. And apparently they also asked the White House for, repealing the protections for pre-existing conditions, although it doesn't look like they're getting that. But, it's too extreme for a lot of the moderates, but it's not extreme enough for a lot of the conservatives. So it's a tight... you know, it's tough for them to thread that needle.
You know, one of the questions I have in looking at the, especially the Republicans' positions, you know, how badly gerrymandered our country is and how some of these districts are just so safe that they can be crazy that it doesn't matter. Because, you know, I look at this and, you know, the people who voted for Trump, those are the people who are going to be harmed the most by this HCA, by this replacement plan. And, you know, the sad thing is, I don't think that they're going to pay a political price for pushing these horrible ideas.
Well, the thing is that the ACA has covered so many people that it really is a huge impact in every corner of the country, even in those gerrymandered congressional districts. So we actually took the Congressional Budget Office estimates of 24 million people losing coverage under the AHCA, and we broke that down by state and congressional district. And, you know, in Pennsylvania, it's as far as the state, it's 760,000 people in 2026 would not be covered. And, you know, we looked at congressional district. You mentioned Charlie Dent. I'm sure this is something he was thinking about when he decided that he couldn't vote for it. But in his district alone, there's 42,000 people who would be uninsured under the Trump Care bill. And so even in those gerrymandered districts, you know, we found the average across the country in congressional districts was 55,000 people in every district. And so, you know, even in those gerrymandered districts, it's a huge number of people all across the country who would be affected by this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I look at this, and again, you pointed out a number of the things that they want to take out of it. And basically making insurance one of those, you know, like picking, you know, menu items off the McDonald's dollar menu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And when you have a menu like that, it means that insurance companies, the stuff they don't want to cover, the stuff that's expensive, like maternity care, you know, your average childbirth costs like $15,000. And so insurance companies are going to raise the cost of getting that service so that, you know, healthy people who aren't pregnant aren't going to buy it. So they know that they don't want to cover the people who are pregnant, and so they'll hike up the price of that.
Yeah, but Thomas, you're never going to get pregnant. Why would you need maternity care? Why do you need it?
I mean, look, insurance works by spreading the costs around the whole population because I know I'm not going to be pregnant, but for all I know, I'm going to wake up in a week and have cancer or something. And so we can't predict our use of most of these health services. And so the only way it's affordable for everyone is, you know, and employer plans work the same way. The healthcare costs are the risk is spread around the population of everyone in the workplace, and that's how premiums stay affordable for everyone.
But you know what gets me, Thomas, is you know you look at this commodification of health insurance, of you know you're picking individual things, and it's like the dollar menu, and to me one of the things that I liked about the Affordable Care Act is it had a floor. It said you know these are the minimums. This covers you know basic minimum care that everyone should get. There's no fine print that you need a microscope to read. This is just what it is. Now, do I think the plan should be better? Absolutely. Are there things we should have done better? Absolutely. But going to what the Republicans are throwing at us is a huge not just a step backwards. It's like 100 steps backwards.
Yeah. And with the big, I think the biggest example of that is, in addition to just repealing big parts of the ACA, the plan also makes huge cuts to the Medicaid program. even beyond just the Medicaid expansion, which has been big in a lot of states, including Pennsylvania, but the traditional Medicaid program. And so it would over the next 10 years, it would cut $880 billion from Medicaid, which means that 14 million fewer people would be covered by the Medicaid program. And so it's a very real possibility that more people could be uninsured under this bill than were uninsured before the Affordable Care Act. And so it's not just a step back to where we were when we passed the ACA, but possibly even further back.
Well, I mean, now they could break out that Bush banner, that mission accomplished Bush banner from during his time, and throw that out there, because it's always been my view that these are cruel people. And I hate saying that, but the more they show me who they are, the more I have to say who they are. This is cruel. This is inhumane. This is wrong. But again, this is what I think of them to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, you know, speculate on their characters, but you know, healthcare is life and death for people. And so this is a real issue that that affects millions of people across this country.
Right,
and,
but here's the thing. At the end of it, these are folks who are never going to have the kind of problems that they're creating for others. They're going to have sufficient wealth to be able to participate in the pay-or-die world that they're creating.
Yeah, no, I mean, every member of Congress is still going to have health care when this is over. And so, yeah. And at the same time, you know, many of these members of Congress are very wealthy. And the other aspect of repealing the ACA is it's a giant tax cut for the wealthy.
Well, mission accomplished. A massive redistribution of wealth. We've got uninsured. We've got layoffs. We've got tax cuts for the wealthy. Wow. All in one bill. That's remarkable.
Yeah, they got a lot in there.
So do we think it's going to pass tonight? Do you see this going, or do you see them leaving it open and continually hammering at it?
It is hard to predict. They still seem like they're going to try to force the vote probably tonight, probably going to be later than they initially expected. I don't know, but there's still a real chance that this is not going to pass. And so, and there are still, I think, a few members of Congress from Pennsylvania that are on the fence. And so we're really focused on, you know, getting people organized and ramping up the advocacy all day today and making sure members of Congress understand what it is they're doing.
Yeah. Call their offices, call, mm-hmm. show up at their district offices, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Good mm-hmm. stuff. Thomas, I appreciate you taking some time for us.
All right. Well, thank you for having me.
Good talking with you, Thomas. Let's take a quick break. Right back. 1-888-520-RICK. 1-888-520-7425.